This story is one of a series of 10 stories of missing experience that are comprised from narrative interviews with adults who've been reported as missing and who have returned and who contributed to the ESRC-funded Geographies of Missing People research project.
I hadn't mapped anything out. I just knew I needed some distance between me and them. I was in such a state. I hadn't had any contact with nature, rabbits or anything for ages, and it is just so idyllic, that walk down by the river. It's just really nice, so I thought of going there. I think the plan was to go for one of my epic walks and not come back. Even in the winter, I like to walk down there, but the weather was horrible and cold that day. And I didn't do the walk in the end. I didn't have the energy. By the time I got there, it was too dark. Those footpaths don't have any streetlights, so you are quite vulnerable. It was a cloudy night, and I couldn't see where I was going, and I was scared I might get murdered or something. And I did want to leave, though. I think that, looking back, I was aiming for the week, if not longer. I was going to go for this long winter walk, but in the back of my mind, I didn't want to come back. I had a week's worth of clothes in my bag, and that was going to last me. It was a kind of mad experiment, and I just stayed away. I had been feeling so down, so weighed down by the responsibilities. I'd sort of organised what I needed to take with me that day. So I had my clothes and my purse. I made myself a pack-up as well. I'm quite good, quite self-sufficient in that way. I suppose I didn't know where I was going, but I was prepared. I was just hoping they wouldn't know where to find me. As I stood at the start of that walk by the river, the one I couldn't do, and I said to myself, I'm going to have to find myself a bed and breakfast hotel. I think by then it was only 11:30 at night, but the town was absolutely empty and I couldn't find one. I thought, I'll find a pub. But everywhere was shut down and there was just nothing happening. I wandered into a park and there was just nobody and I didn't know what to do. I just sat on a bench and it was freezing, absolutely freezing. I sat on this bench just listening to my heart and looking at the sea thinking, what if I just walked into it right now? And I thought, nobody'd probably care anyway. You experience the environment differently. It sounds strange, but I was thinking the sea was somehow conscious of me. I went to look at the sea because there was something really very tranquil and calming about it. And depression is a very selfish thing, and I didn't think about other people. You lose your empathy. I wasn't thinking of my family missing me. If I'd been the woman that I am now, I would have been considering other people's feelings. But because I was ill, I didn't. You don't think about what your family are going through. I sort of stopped feeling. I disassociated myself from them, and so I didn't think they were missing me. Not that first night, anyway. After a while, I was tired and cold, and I thought, I can't sleep outside tonight. I walked through town to the bus station. It's quite a pleasant bus station. It's warm, and the time passed quickly. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to see anybody, but didn't
particularly want to stay there. It was a horrible time looking back. In the morning, I went into the little cafe and got changed and had a wash and stuff. So I was ill, but still aware in that way. I still kept myself clean and safe.
I might have been behaving differently, acting strangely, but I was still perfectly aware that I needed to wash and eat. I stayed there 2 nights. This security guard eventually said to me, "Oh, I've noticed that you're staying overnight here because I saw you before and you've changed your clothes." That scared me. And so I did eventually check into a hotel. I'm a creature who likes my comforts. I like warmth. So I did check into this hotel eventually, and I just stayed in my room. I didn't go out much for a few days. I spent a lot of time crying and sleeping. I was drinking whiskey, and drinking whiskey made me forget a lot of things. It was just a way of repressing things. There was a certain amount of embarrassment that I hadn't managed to actually run away properly, when that is what my intention had been at the start of the walk. I was just too tired. And there I was, still in my hometown. After a few days, I wanted to do something, go somewhere else. I switched my phone on, and there were these hysterical messages from friends and family about me being missing, and I needed to contact the police, and well, that kind of thing does not help at all. When I turned my mobile on, I didn't read all of them because, well, there was an awful lot of messages which all said the same thing. It was like mass hysteria on your mobile, and you don't want to be responsible for everyone else's emotions. You can barely cope with your own. I just turned it off. I knew I had to go further then. I know it sounds stupid, but it was like an excited feeling. Not the fact that I was leaving everybody, but the fact that maybe my head would be all clear and I would be somewhere new and nobody would know me, you know? It would be a fresh start. I kept thinking, if I got on a bus somewhere, half the buses now have CCTV, so they'll know where I'm going. I think I went through all the emotions then. I think I actually wanted somebody to find me. I wanted someone to come and help me, and at the same time, I wanted to be away. Eventually, I went back to the bus station and I got on the bus to Ipswich and then a coach to London. It was a long journey. It was a long time of worrying on the bus, where am I going? And wondering whether I would get stopped because I knew that they had reported me missing. I was feeling so tense about getting caught. I was worked up and my heart was racing. When I was in London, I did pass by a policeman and he did look at me for a long time, but he didn't say anything. That's just a bit ridiculous to think they're going to be looking for me in every place, but I was so nervous. I was a very different person then. I think the illness made me a different person rather than it being really intentional. If the refuge hadn't put me up that one night, I don't know what would have happened. I would have stayed in the streets or in bus shelters. I do remember looking for somewhere to sleep when I first arrived and then going there. They knew I was ill. It was obvious. They let me stay one night and then helped me to get on a ward. It was in there that I met other mums.
I'd never come across mums that leave their families before, but during my stay in that psychiatric hospital, I met lots of mums that had done the same, and some mums never went back to their children. They never went back, and some mums had not seen their children for 15 years, 20 years. I just remember thinking, I don't want to do that. I wanted to try and find my way back. There was a strong part of me that didn't want to go back at the same time, so it was like I was fighting myself.
If I'd maybe stayed longer on my own in London, I might have been able to disappear a bit more. If I'd stayed away longer, I might have made a bit more of an impact, which it sounds daft as well. I'm trying to make an impact by going missing. It was a pretty selfish thing to do, but if I had told anybody I'm leaving, they would have probably said, nope, you've got to stay here. Ideally, though, I would have liked to have stayed away longer. Towards the end of that week, I started thinking about my children and pining for them. I was only away for a week, and even then the feeling of guilt was enormous. For leaving this place for a week and then coming back to all the mess, all of the debris that I had left. I had so much guilt to contend with. When the police did get in touch, I remember he said, look, it's okay. Don't worry, you're not in trouble or anything. That's the bit that stood out for me, because I was really worried when I saw the policeman waiting by my bed. He put me at ease by saying that straight off. I do remember that made an immediate difference. I actually think of myself as a strong person, but the reality of it is that I can be fragile like anyone else. I think everybody at some point in their life can't cope with that much responsibility. But while I was away, I started to think about what my children would be thinking and how they would be feeling. And then picking up the phone to talk to them and just hearing their voice and their anguish and how they were feeling, that was it. Yeah, it was hearing their voices that gave me the strength to try and come back to them. You want people to understand why you've gone. And the coming home bit, it's quite hard. You've got to talk about all of it at some point. Going missing didn't solve anything. If I just stayed there and talked things through with the relevant people in the first place, it might have been okay.